Hey there, I'm Kelsey Kreveling with the Consultants Council podcast, and today's episode is a great one for any small business owner or anyone who wants to start their own small business. I'm meeting and talking today with Nolan Bradbury. He is the founder of Bradfield Accounting and Advisory, a firm that is focused on creating sustainable practices for business owners so that they can create the lifestyle that they want within their business and the growth goals that they're really looking for. So really fun to hear from Nolan today. He has a very unique take for a accountant, for a CPA, and it's a good one. So I hope you enjoy.
Hey there, and welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high-performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Kreveling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and leaders through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons others and I have learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com and kelsc.consulting. That's kelsey.consulting. Today's episode is sponsored by Tori, a personal physical asset inventory capital manager. Head to inventory.capital to request your invitation because your inventory tells a story and it is safe with Tori. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances, and the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more.
Hey there, and welcome. I am excited for today's episode. It is a subject matter that many shy away from in the consulting and in the small business space, but we have Nolan Bradbury here with us, and he's going to take us through his approach and how it is a bit different from how others approach it. And I think you're really going to enjoy what he has to share and say today. Nolan, thanks so much for joining.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Nolan, tell us about your skill set and how you make a difference for entrepreneurs and small businesses.
Yeah. So CPA by trade, which I suspect when I say that you have an immediate idea of who I am and what I do. How I approach accounting, though, is I would like to think different from most CPAs. I approach it more from a standpoint of trying to break down a lot of the emotion that often gets tied up in finances and money, in particular businesses. And through that, hopefully helping people work through a lot of the challenges they sometimes experience, both personally and professionally, when it comes to generating wealth.
Awesome. How did that come to be? How did you decide that you wanted to pursue that?
Yeah. So to be truthful, when I went to college, I actually was planning on going into psychology. I've always been fascinated by the reason people make the decisions they make or don't make in some cases. But for one reason or other, got lured in by the siren call of accounting and went down that path. Worked in public accounting for a while, but it kind of always felt like a necessary evil. I was just kind of doing things, but people didn't really want me to do it. They just needed me to do it. So left, went and worked in private for a while, took a company public. That was fun, but ultimately kind of fell into the same spot where, again, just kind of doing a necessary evil. And so for the last decade or so, a little bit more, I've been working exclusively with small business owners to kind of help them work through how do they make the business this asset for themselves that actually provides the lifestyle they want. And so my approach has kind of come through the last, like I said, decade or so of getting to better understand the motivations behind most business owners, what leads them to do what they do, make the decisions they make, and then use that to sort of help inform them to make better decisions necessarily, that not necessarily right versus wrong, but more in alignment with what they're looking to accomplish.
Neat. How do you facilitate that for them?
Yeah, so it's a bit more of an art than a science, to be completely honest. You know, as I said, we really try to start with understanding why accounting or finance is oftentimes not the huge focal point that you may expect it to be within a business. As a CPA, I do actually understand that for most people, accounting and finance is like the least enjoyable part of running a business. I do. And so we start with from a place of understanding, like, why is that for you? What is it that about the numbers that are not enjoyable for you? And I sort of equate it to if you're going to go on a diet, it doesn't work if we make a diet for you and all it does is remove all the things you love. You're not going to naturally lean into it. You're going to resist it. And the same thing is true from an accounting finance perspective. We can design everything for you, but if it isn't in alignment with who you are and what you are and what you want your business to be, you're never going to buy into it. And it's always going to be a resistance point for you. And so we really try to work around that to sort of change that component of the way the business is working for you so that when you're sitting down to talk about accounting and finance, you opt to lean into it as opposed to sort of disengage from it.
I love that because I think for so many people, I mean, I grew up with a CPA for a dad. So from early on, it was, you know, 10% of all you earn. And I mean, there was a lot of good there, but then there also was a lot of fear too, from kind of a scarcity mindset and holding on to everything and not necessarily being open to investing it in more entrepreneurial ways. It was very much have a very safe kind of measurable path. So, I love that you take that approach of helping people break down maybe kind of the psychology behind what's keeping them in one place and keeping them a bit more limited. Any advice you can share for people who are looking to start their own business and looking to kind of break down some of those initial fears? What would you have them do?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there, right? I think if you pull 40,000 feet out, if you're thinking about starting your own business, what I would really challenge you to think about is what do you want that business to be for you? So one of the things that oftentimes happens is when as entrepreneurs, when we set out to start a business, we aren't always setting out to start a business for the sake of running a business. Like that's not actually how most people get into it. Some do. Again, but for a lot of people, they end up running a business because they're really great at something and they feel that doing that on their own as opposed to working for the man will give them more of what they want. And for most people, that's some element of freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, whatever the case may be. So the thing that's really important is before you start getting into the nitty-gritty of this, like it is key to have an idea of what do you want this business to be for yourself? What are you willing to do in exchange for that freedom that you might have? And sometimes it's a short-term trade-off. Sometimes it's a longer-term trade-off. Because what I never want to see someone do, at least if this is not in alignment with what they want, is to create just another job for themselves. Like you've built this business, but really it's just you've constricted yourself to doing a job only you're the boss of you. And it doesn't actually afford you the things that you set out to achieve. Freedom in this particular case that we're talking about. So I think starting off, like, be honest with yourself about what you want, what you're willing to do it. And then stepping back and seeing, like, does that make sense? It's okay if at the end of the day, you're like, yeah, you know, but I'm not willing to do this, or that's not what I want to do at this point in my time, in my life. Maybe you have kids and they're young. And so doing that isn't the right time to do it. None of that is wrong, like a bad thing. It's not like you need to feel as though you're not capable of doing it. It's just sometimes it's not the right thing right now. And I think being honest about that up front will allow you to be better at making the decisions as you navigate it, because you will have this sort of North Star that you'll always kind of be able to equate back to, right? Oftentimes, business owners, we get ourselves in trouble because we make a decision without correlating it back to why we're trying to make the decision. So we'll go invest in something, we'll hire someone, but we don't actually do the due diligence of going, well, if I do this, what is the outcome I'm going to get? And so I think starting from that place of really having clarity around what it is you're trying to accomplish and what you're seeking will help you have better decisions down the road.
Most certainly. I think it's interesting that you point out the need to have your North Star, because starting a business is really difficult. Actually, I mean, aside from the most difficult thing they say, which is just to decide to start, the second is just staying in it and continuing to keep it going when things are not all rosy and fun. Early on, there's so much excitement and you've invested in yourself and you're ready to go, but it can become a slog, especially as things get hard, things don't work out the way you're anticipating. I'm curious, how do you coach and support your clients when things maybe aren't going to plan and they are maybe in some of the throes of those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, it's important to understand that nothing is ever going to go the exact way you think it's going to go. And to be honest with you, that's a good thing, quite honestly. I think sometimes we forget, we get ourselves in this mindset of when we make decisions that it's a binary choice that we have, meaning like I either do this or I don't do this. And I kind of equate it to, it's like as if you're standing in front of a door and to you, the only decision you have is, do I walk through the door or not? And I think what's important to understand is more oftentimes in business and in life, what we don't see is that there's an infinite number of doors stacked sort of side by side next to the one you're facing. And so it's important to sort of like step back and go like, well, this isn't the only option you have going forward. What else is available to you? And so when we're working through a place where someone maybe feels stuck or they don't see the path forward, it's oftentimes the best route to sort of pull yourself out of where you're at and kind of reassess at a higher level again, like, are the decisions you're making in alignment with that thing that we talked about up front, which is like, where are you trying to get to? Because oftentimes the reason people feel stuck is they've gone down this path, but that path never guaranteed them the outcome they were looking for. And now they're at this place where they don't really know what to do. And there's this fear of, well, if I give up on this thing, I've just spent time on getting to this point, like, is that a failure? All of that stuff is just mindset that is preventing you from being successful, quite honestly. It's not that it's invalid, it's just that it doesn't need to be there. And right. So I think a lot of times it's like we work through with them, why are you feel like where you're at is stuck? Like what does stuck mean to you to some extent, right? Like it's really kind of breaking this stuff down, as silly as it sounds, like it is finance based, but it is also very emotional and mentally driven. And right. you can't ignore one and expect to sort of solve the problem, in my opinion.
Well, completely, because our finances are so integral to how we live and operate in this reality. And so helping people uncover those barriers and the oftentimes the limiting thoughts and beliefs that are keeping us in one place. And it's one of those things that we all have different gifts and skills and we're good at deploying them to others, but we're not always good at looking internally and being able to see clearly what it is that we need to do to move forward, right? Like I don't know if you've seen that, but it's certainly very self-evident of, okay, ability to help others, but then you go and look and examine your own situation or circumstances and you think, oh my goodness, okay, I really do have to zoom out. What advice would I give myself if I were a client, right? And I think 100%. When everyone starts to put on that mindset, that kind of hat, that framework, it does make a big difference, but it's tough to remove yourself from the immediacy of the challenge that you're going through and to be able to see it with clarity because you're so mired in the day-to-day and the emotions of that day-to-day. So I love that you bring that perspective to a typically quantitative analytical field that is often typically presented in a black and white framework. So that's really neat, Nolan, that you're able to do that with your clients. Any fun outcomes or results from people you've worked with that you can share?
Yeah, just was working with a client this last month. She is she's expecting the first child. And so kind of at this point where she's trying to figure out like, well, what does the business look like post-child? Is it the same? Do I want it to be the same? And frankly, was kind of really struggling with tearing it down versus like blowing it up, growing it, not blowing it up, really. But we were talking, I was like, first off, every business owner faces this at some point in their life, if not multiple times, where you're like, do I just tear this down and like start over or do I push through and do this? But the exercise that we took her through, you know, in our framework was to really break this down to one, in her case, we got down to one thing, which was, look, if you're able to bring in this amount of new clients every month, then you will be more than able to achieve the financial intake that you want for your family in this new state going forward. And for her, it was very unlocking to understand that it was that simple. Now, again, there's a difference between easy and simple, right? Like, I don't mean to suggest you snap your finger and you can do that immediately, right? But when you know that that's what you have to focus on, it takes away a lot of the noise and distraction that would otherwise prevent you from really focusing on that. So for her, it became this sort of release of this pressure of like, oh, I don't have to worry about all these other things. I really just have to decide, is this decision going to get me closer to this thing that I just said I need to do? So in her case, it was X number of clients more per month. And through that, we also made sure that if she did that, that that wasn't going to put undue stress on her personally, meaning that as a new mother, was she willing to commit to what that meant, that what that took, right? Like, it doesn't do any good, again, if we design a system and that system produces an outcome that you don't want. So it was, for her, like, she got to the end of our meeting and you could see the jaw actually dropping as she was coming to terms with this, because consciously, and she said this to me afterwards, she's like, I really wanted to tell you why you were wrong. She's like, I kept wanting to prove to you that, like, what you were telling me was not the case. And she's like, by the end of it, though, like, you had proven to me through my own information that basically this was more than achievable and it was just as straightforward as this. And so that was like a really, I mean, I love it when we get to that point, quite honestly, because it's just the most rewarding feeling to know that you've unlocked this for someone so that they aren't in this place of stress and confusion anymore, but rather they are now hyper-focused on being successful.
I love that. And to be able to bring that kind of clarity to people is a gift. So that's really neat that you facilitate that. I'm curious, any fun tools or technologies that you're utilizing with your clients that you think people need to know about or be aware of?
Yeah, so we use our own developed process. We call it the Clarity Framework. And it's really just designed to, you know, I'll fully transparent, like, the tool itself is a tool, but that's not what does the process and what is unlocking for people. It's the deliberateness with which we take them through that process in terms of starting with an understanding of what they need and what they want, what their business's current state is, what that really means from like a take home amount. And then sort of, again, like I said, reverse engineering what the business needs to look like to achieve the outcome they're looking for. Because, and I can't stress this enough, you know, I do actually ask this people, I go, do you want your lifestyle to be better, the same, or worse at the end of this process? And as you can probably gather, nobody says they want it to be worse. And that's true. So why would we design a system where the outcome is you have to cut back on what you want to spend money on or what you, how you want to enjoy the fruits of your labor? So what we try to do is, instead of that, we go, look, if this is what you want your spending to look like personally and how you want to travel or kids' tuition for private school, whatever the case may be, then this is what your business needs to be able to do. And then it's about preferences. Are you wanting to do that? And so through that framework, we help them reconcile that for themselves. And it isn't about me telling them anything. It's about me guiding them through that so that they're coming to terms with that on their own. That's a really important thing, in my opinion, which is you can lead the horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. And so any sort of change that someone's going to go through, especially around finances, which is an incredibly emotional thing in people's lives, it has to be on their own choice. They have to come to it in their own way. I'm just there to kind of be the guide for them so that, like, they can work through that. Because as you said earlier, it's very hard to self-actualize that on your own. Like, as good as I am with this with other people, I have my own coaches that I go to help me with these things on my own, right? And I'm sure you do, and everyone else who has success, they utilize other people to help them work through the things they can't see for themselves.
Right. We all have blind spots. We do. Yeah. So as far as kind of that process, so when you start working with a new client, what does that intake look like for them? What do they go through? And then what is the ongoing evolution of relationship look like? I think that's something too, that, you know, as people look at needing or wanting help in this area, they're scared of it just from the number side of it. They're scared of it from just thinking about it from a financial perspective. They're scared to put hard budgets and expectations around things. But then they're also scared as to what does the process look like? How engaged is it? And what does the commitment even look like?
Yeah. So I'll answer that. One thing I want to preface with this, which is I sort of equate what we go through, and I tell clients this when we meet and first off, is I go, this is kind of like when people don't want to go see a doctor because they're worried about getting bad news. And what I explain to them is the news is the news. Like it's not changed whether we talk or not. Your current state is your current state. And I may tell you something you aren't thrilled to hear, but that was going to be the case regardless. Mm-hmm. And so initially when we sit down, I have a 30-minute sort of free consultation with people where I work to understand who they are, what they're trying to accomplish. And then frankly, try to be as honest with them as I can as whether or not I think I can help them. The last thing I want to do is bring on someone who I can't actually help. And I try to be as forthcoming about that as I possibly can. If it makes sense for us to move forward, where we really start from then is there's a little bit of information I need them to give to me. And being fully transparent, a little bit of it is a test, which is you've got to give me some information that is probably going to make you uncomfortable. And I've got to make sure that you're willing to use a bit of a bad phrase, be willing to get naked in front of me to tell me that this is what the current state of things are. And so that starts with, how are you spending your money personally? And what I explain to people is I don't care. I'm not using this information for anything. I don't put it in a database. It is really just a matter of you being honest with yourself about how much you're spending each month in your personal life. The reason for that is because I need them to come to that number on their own so that when we come back to that later, they're not arguing with me, to use a lack of a better phrase, about what they're actually spending or not, right? It's hard to say like, oh, I spend $10,000 a month and then come back later and go, no, I only spend $8,000. It's like, well, we just went through this exercise where you said I spend 10 and you agreed with it. So we begin with that. And then we do a similar exercise where we break down what their business looks like on a sort of average actual basis each month. And then we basically give them a financial snapshot of what that means for them. And at that point, then we go back and we work through those again, which is, if you wanted to, would you make any changes to the way you're spending personally right now? Like are you thinking again that your kids are going to go to a private school in the next year? Well, then let's just factor that in now and not create a system that then we'd have to change anyway. So we give them a chance to sort of modify that a little bit. Maybe they want to travel more. Maybe they want to spend less on eating out, whatever the case may be. And we get them to align on that. And then we basically go, okay, here's what that looks like from your business. And we start working with them to modify and scale the business or adjust the business in terms of customer breakdown and how that relates to cost structure and what it means if they were to scale or grow, until we get to a point where the business really looks like what it would need to look like. And at that point, we extract the pieces that we've changed within their business and make them clear actionable items, meaning that these are the three or so things that you've agreed that if we did, would give you the business that you wanted for your personal life. And then at that point, we design a way to measure and monitor their progress on those things. So that they have the ability to sort of benchmark themselves against it, okay? Because that's the other thing is like if you say this, but you don't actually do anything to make sure you're making the changes, then it's kind of all for naught, right? And so at that point, then we move into more of a monitoring support system with them where we work with them on a monthly basis usually to manage these KPIs. And then there are going to be some cases where the actions that they need to take are not accounting or finance-based. Going back to the example I gave earlier, they need to bring in a certain number of clients. Okay, well, let's work with the person you're going to be working with in the marketing aspect to do that. And then we work with that person to make sure the measures are coming in so they can manage that and monitor it going forward. Because again, we want them to have clear sight line into the progress they're making and what that's resulting in for them. Sort of this immediate instant gratification of like, I'm doing this, like stepping on the scale. I'm losing weight. I can see the number going down. That's rewarding. It facilitates me doing it more and more. So that's a very high level, sort of the process we take them through. And then at that point, like I said, on the ongoing state, we will work with them as long as they want us to. For most people, they want us to just kind of work with them because they get to this place where what they understand is like, you're helping me do this thing I'm not an expert at, and it's really valuable to me. And so I just want you to keep doing that for me.
Yep. Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, you're doing so much more than traditional accounting and balancing an organization's books. I mean, you're offering a comprehensive, transformative approach, it seems, to their business and personal success, which is really neat. And I don't think that that's something that enough practitioners are able to render support around. So it's neat that you've put together an approach that allows you to offer that type of a holistic.
And we do bookkeeping, like, but what's interesting is that kind of came out of a function of when we started looking at the business and we were getting the data to do that, we had this issue sometimes where the data wasn't sufficient for us to do the lifting that the company needed for us, right? And so we kind of had to backfill this need to put that into place. But to your point, like, you know, people still come and go, I need bookkeeping. And what I often tell them is, why do you think that? Like, what is it that is actually, like, maybe, I don't know. You haven't told me enough to say one way or the other, but what is it that makes you think that? And I would say like half the time they don't, and half the time, yeah, they probably do. But I don't like to just completely tear down what someone has unless that's actually what is necessary.
And I think that's really wise because, I mean, in reality, the bookkeeping side of it, once somebody learns QuickBooks or whatever, I mean, that isn't the hard part. It's what you're doing, which is the strategy side of it, the planning side of it, the, okay, what are we going to do to handle growth and structure and personal accountability so that we're getting to where we want to be. So that's really awesome. Nolan, so you started your firm over a year ago now. What was the deciding factor for you to say, okay, it's time, I'm going to go jump off the deep end and take on entrepreneurship for myself?
I think it was a multitude of things, quite honestly. I think looking back on it, the thing that probably was the biggest driver was this underlying need to be able to help people in a way that was very true to me and who I was. So as you probably gathered from listening to me, like the way I look at things is unconventional to a lot of accountants and CPAs. And it wasn't that what I was doing, I didn't enjoy. It was just, it wasn't fully there to where I wanted to be. Like it was, yes, I can give you this information, but it was kind of unsatisfying in terms of like the outcome that people were getting from it. So a lot of it for me was like, how do I lean more into who I am and what I'm good at so that I can do the most for as many people as possible? And so for me, it was just that sort of decision of, okay, I need to be able to do this and try. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then I got to go find something else to do. But like I said, it's been a really great process, and I've thoroughly enjoyed being able to connect with people in the way that I have been over the last year and a half.
Awesome. Congratulations. It's a big step to launch your own firm, and it's really neat that you've made that a priority. All right, so you started your career at Deloitte working as a consultant. Yeah. Any thoughts or advice for others who are following in those footsteps, who are CPAs and are going that route? Anything that you would tell your younger self?
Yeah, I think consulting is one of those things that I think a lot of professionals aspire to do because it sort of gives you the biggest breadth of being able to kind of do a bunch of different things, right? At a very sort of high level. I think if I was talking to 25-year-old me now, 20 some years ago, whatever it is, I think the thing I would really emphasize to myself is you think you know a lot right now, you don't know a lot right now. And it's important to be okay with that. And that part of consulting is always learning. There is never going to be a point where you have learned everything. You have to accept that. Like as great as you might be at something, you can always be greater and there's always something more to learn. And I think more than anything, what I've learned is that where there's the most potential for growth in terms of providing value to your customers or clients is being able to connect things that are on the surface not connected at all. So how do you take something you learn about outer space and connect it with this client, which has nothing to do with outer space? Or how do you take something you learn about nutrition and apply it against someone's balance sheet? Like there are ways to connect this. And when you're able to do that, you're able to communicate with people in a very broader way. And I mean that in a good thing, meaning that the people we talk to, we're all different. We all take in data differently. And so if you're able to connect with people on many different levels, then you're going to have greater success in getting through to them and working with them and having them learn what you're ultimately trying to consult on.
That is a wonderful set of advice. I love that. I certainly resonate with the idea of drawing from lots of different places. There is so much we can learn from so many different industries and practices and approaches. And from what I've seen in consulting, there's a lot of people that get very narrow-minded with it. They develop very deep areas of expertise, and that's great. And we need people that are really, really good in very specific areas. But then we also need generalists. We need people who can pull out to that very high-level viewpoint and see all the different data points and see how to connect them, even when they're disparate and even when they don't seem at first glance like they might relate. There's something that we can pull from and utilize, and that can make all the difference oftentimes. And it also, as you're saying, it really does allow us to relate better to our peers and our colleagues and our clients. So I think that's really awesome advice, and I love the way you phrased it.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes what gets lost is that when we're a consultant, like, people are hiring us for our expertise, but they also are hiring us for the trust that we're going to give them in what we're telling them. And you can't overlook that enough, which is the only way for you to get buy-in from your clients as to what you're advising them on is that they can relate to you and believe that you understand and hear them. So oftentimes what I've seen is consultants come in and they feel as though the way they can provide value is almost being as disruptive as possible, meaning like showing all these other things that they know that you don't know. And it isn't that there isn't value in that, but that isn't always going to get you to be well received by the person you're trying to engage with. And believe it or not, part of this is a relationship and that you have to get people to be on board and come along with you. And so I think it's as important, quite honestly, not just to your technical expertise, but what is your connecting technique? How do you engage with the person such that they want to go along with you, that they don't view you as an enemy in this, but rather that you're a team member in this, because that is the essence of what consulting is. It's that you're brought in to assist and be a part of a team, not be this sort of like antagonist in an environment. So,
yep. Well, I think modern TV shows have maybe given us a somewhat of a bad reputation, but it's interesting because I'll have people I'm talking with and they'll hear that, oh, you're in consulting, and they'll have such a negative connotation of that, thinking that the job is just to go in and do riffs and completely change and disrupt teams. And that may be the approach of some consultants, but that certainly has never been mine. It's right. How can we work together cohesively? How can we understand what your future state goals are, and how can we get you there? And sometimes in a fast route, and sometimes in a much more subtle way. We might make just tweaks here and there that will over time have a profound change. I'm a big believer in taking a mindful approach to modifications versus having really disruptive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an excellent point, because to me, I view it as whether we realize it or not, every time we come into a situation like this, we come in with a bias to some extent, that we have this idea of like what the answer is. Otherwise, we wouldn't have taken the engagement most likely, right? You don't often walk into an engagement going like, I have no idea what we're going to do here, but I'll figure it out. And the challenge with that, right, is that you run the risk of not actually hearing what the problem is in the terms of the client, right? And so we end up solving a problem that wasn't the actual problem that they hired you to solve. And that's never where you want to find yourself.
Definitely. Well, I think that's awesome and excellent advice for anyone in consulting or considering entering consulting. Nolan, any further advice you have for anyone who does want to create their own firm? And what are the steps that they should take right away to set themselves up for success from an accounting and finance perspective?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're thinking about going out on your own, I think that's a wonderful thing. I would highly encourage you to spend some time in more of the details in terms of not just like, what are you going to name it? And, you know, what's the website going to look like, but rather what is the real offer you're going to make? Who is your target audience? Where do they hang out? What is their needs? Are you able to fulfill that? Really kind of understanding the nuts and bolts of where you're going to be in this marketplace and what that looks like. Doesn't mean that you can't fulfill that, but more of just like having some thoughts around really what your offer is going to look like, because then fundamentally that's going to shape sort of the cost structure of your business and where you're going to invest your money. You don't have an infinite amount of money and time. And so your biggest constraint are
people think,
right? Yeah. But you know, if you're honest about it, right, like you have a finite amount of it. And so how are you going to use that in the most effective way possible? You can't really answer that question unless you have a clarity around how you're going to enter the marketplace. And so when you're ready for that, I also highly recommend that as much as you know about the thing you know, there are experts in various fields, and it is not a slight against your intelligence to rely upon and bring other people into the foray. I think the thing that there's a difference between you can do something and you should do something. So you're probably capable of doing a lot of things within your business. That doesn't mean you should be doing those things within your business. There are certain things only you can do. That's where you want to be spending your time. The other stuff, you want to find a way to bring in other people who are great at it and can do it. Even if it's only 80% of what you could do in that case, 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Right, right. Well, and in small businesses, you're already wearing so many hats. And if there are ways to create leverage and offload activities that frees you up to then do the things that you're great at, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to get too far down the path, but if you start your own business and you start to have success, which I hope you do, I would highly recommend the first hire you make is to find yourself a good support team member who can take a lot of the administrative tasks off your plate. It is the single thing that will unlock the most potential for yourself, because all of that like cognitive wearing down that exists with all those administrative tasks, right? It dampens your ability to be creative and strategic, and getting that off of your plate. It's a fairly cost-effective hire, to be honest. And it also will give you the most freedom to do the other things that are going to grow your business the most.
Nolan, do you like having that person be a full-time hire or a contract, fractional?
I like to hedge my risks, which you can probably imagine as a CPA, right? Having had a dad who's one. What I say is, I think starting out, low risk, hire a contractor, hire a part-time person, because frankly, the first person you hire, you're not going to know how to engage with them. And you're probably going to kind of muck up the relationship to some extent. Maybe you work through it, maybe you can figure it out. But reality is, probably take a couple people until you find the right relationship and how you need the support and how, frankly, how you can communicate what you need to someone so they can support you in the best way possible. At that point, when you find the person, then you can go all in, make them a hire, make them a full-time person. But I wouldn't do that until you really have a better sense of that and until you absolutely have to.
Yeah, agreed. I am right there with you on not taking on that risk. Also, just the responsibility of somebody else's livelihood. That's a heavy weight to bear until you're really solid and ready for it. Yep. So I agree with you there. I'm curious, what skills or traits do you look for when you're looking to engage somebody in that capacity?
You know, a lot of, for me, there is what I refer to sort of as like extreme accountability, which is people make mistakes. We're all human. That's part of being human. I don't expect perfection. I do expect that if you mess up, you're going to own it and you're going to do everything you can to fix it. And so as long as you do that, like we're fine. Any client who wants to get upset with us because we make a mistake and can't move past it, they're not going to be a client of ours very long, just not going to work out. But you do got to own it when you mess up. And so for me, that's a big one. Secondly, I would say, attention to detail, just the line of work that we're in. I love to say that I'm pretty patient when it comes to details, but I have to just accept that like, that's just not who I am. And details are really important. And then I think, you know, thirdly,
you wouldn't be an accountant if it's exactly not right. Important to you.
It's exactly right. You know, and then thirdly, it's a function for me of having clear, like, this is how I expect to operate. And when you say you're going to do this, all I'm going to measure against is what you said you were going to do. So if you say, I'm going to respond to this person by 10 a.m. tomorrow and you respond by noon, what happened? Like, I didn't tell you that it needed to happen by 10. That's what you told me. So when you don't do that, that makes it hard for me to trust you, quite honestly. And so I want to be able to fully trust you. I want to be able to hand that off. So I need to know that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to follow through on that.
Yeah, I think those are great, great traits to look for. And I mean, making hires for your business is, it's hard. It is hard to do because you are trusting someone so deeply with something that you care about immensely. It's very different than onboarding somebody to a team that is part of a large organization where there's more room for potential error too. So it's
the highest risk decision you will make in your business. Any team member you bring on, because what I think we often forget as team members, I'm sure you know this because you probably have team members, right? Where we think, oh, I'm going to hire this person. They're great. You bring them in, even if it's just a contractor part-time, and we forget that there's an up, they have to get up to speed. And that there's an investment you have to be willing to make in them in your time, in the short term, to get them to that point. And so if you're not willing to do that, they're going to fail, not because of their own fault, because you haven't given them what they need. And secondly, like when you bring someone on, you have to be very clear about what it is you want them to do, because there's this scope creep of like, oh, they're really great at A, let me have them do B. And then they're not good at B. And you're like, well, why are you not good at B? Like, and you're like, well, I didn't hire you for B. I didn't ask you if you wanted to do B. I just told you to do it. Now I'm upset because you're not good at it. So, you know, we just have to be honest about what we're bringing someone on to do and what our role is in that process, because it isn't an immediate fix.
Definitely. Okay, Nolan, we've been looking at your artwork behind you this conversation. Will you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So to date myself, child of the 80s. So these are prints. I got them off Etsy, to be completely transparent. But they are movies. So they're just main characters in movies. So like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ghostbusters, you could probably tell, Back to the Future. This one's a little hard, but Princess Bride, and then Goonies. And there's some other ones that you can't see on screen, but I just like that. It sort of reminds me of my childhood very much. So
definitely. Very fun. Okay. So Nolan, you work a lot, I'm sure. What do you do from a balance perspective to keep things in perspective and to keep yourself feeling healthy, well grounded, and able to support your clients?
Yeah. So to be honest, the most important lesson I've ever had to learn, and I am still learning it to be fully transparent, is that it is okay to be selfish. I think selfishness has gotten a really bad rap, quite honestly. What I mean by that is I have to take care of myself to be able to take care of my clients and my family. So what that means is like sometimes when I know I have a lot of work, I still need to just lay down for an hour and close my eyes and recover, because I'm not going to be a good version of me unless I do. So as silly as that may sound, like that's a really important aspect of it. Beyond that, though, I'm a father of two, and those two are involved in a lot of stuff, like a lot of kids are. And so, it isn't necessarily downtime, but the place where I recuperate really is being with them at what they're doing and being a part of that. And the promise I made to myself and to my family when I started this practice was I would never go back to a place where I didn't have the freedom to be there for them when they needed me. That's like the thing that is most important to me. So I love my clients. I would do just about anything for them, but they're not my family. And I hope they don't ever take that personally. My family is my family, and my family is always going to come first. And so for me, it's just a prioritization of them. And I'm okay with whatever those trade-offs and consequences are going to be for me. But for me, that's the thing that like I center myself around and where I recharge and all that good stuff. So it's just a function of being there and being the best dad and husband I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, any fun book or piece of advice that you've recently come across and that you're ruminating on?
This is a bit of an older book. I think it came out in 2022, but every person I recommend it to tells me later on that it was like the best read. It's called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. Okay. So 4,000 weeks is the average number of weeks in your life, essentially. I think it's like 80 years. And it's a book. It's not a book about life hacks, although you might think that. It's actually a book about how not to hack your life and really about coming to terms with what time is and how we and our relationship with it. It was an incredibly impactful book for me. I highly recommend it. It's one of those ones where I probably read it 5 times and I go back and I underline and highlight it because there's just a lot of really good stuff in there that I think snaps me out of wherever I'm at and kind of makes me reassess and think about things in a different way. So highly recommend that as a good book if anyone hasn't read that yet.
Yeah. And also 2022 doesn't feel like it was a long time ago, right? Like that
it doesn't, feels like and yet it does, right? I mean, it's like, that was like 3 years ago, which kind of blows my mind at this point.
I know.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I can't believe we're past January in 2025. I literally feel like I just was at like a New Year's Eve gathering and now it's the beginning of February. I have no clue what happened to the last month.
Yeah, time is evaporating right now. It feels exceptionally long in the present, but it also feels very, very, very rapid. So it's
that's a great way of describing it. Yes, it is both of those things at once.
Yeah, it is. So it's been interesting. Nolan, if anyone is interested in learning more about the work that you do and you know wants to work with you, how can they find you and engage with you?
Yeah. So. I'm not on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, but I'm not a big social media person. So don't, if you see me on Facebook or Instagram, it's not me, spoiler alert. But you can find us on our website, bradfieldco.com. My name is Bradbury, but it's called Bradfield. That is in honor of my wife. It's a combination of our last names before we got married. And so I wouldn't be here without her. So that's my homage to her. So bradfieldco.com, you can go out there. We have a contact form. You can submit if you're interested in sort of finding more about what we do and see if we can help you. Please don't spam us because a real human responds to those. We're not an AI setup. So, you know, that is actually us on the other end when you send that in. But we, like I said, if we think we can help you, we'll set up a free call to talk through that with you, go over things and, you know, be honest with you about if we think there's something that we can do to help you. You can also find us on LinkedIn very creatively at Nolan Bradbury. And you can find us out there. But yeah, otherwise, reach out to us. Like I said, we're here to help. As silly as that might sound, that's what we started us. That's our ethos. So if we can help you, we'd love to.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, Nolan, any other further thoughts or insights you want to share with anyone listening today?
You know, the last thing this has really nothing to do with what we talked about, but just it's on top of mind, which is you're going to make mistakes and that's okay. They're not the end of the world. And quite honestly, oftentimes the best growth comes from mistakes or what we think of as mistakes. So if you're starting a business and you feel like you're failing, you're not failing. You're not. Don't stress about it. There are ways out. There are ways forward. You just got to find the right people to help you do that and it will happen for you.
Love that. That's awesome. Yeah. It's something we all, I think, can benefit from hearing. It is being an entrepreneur can be a really lonely road. So
very lonely. Yep.
Finding colleagues that are even in different industries, different businesses, but who can be a listening ear and be supportive is definitely really helpful. But yep. I love the idea that, yeah, it's not failing. You're learning all the way around. So
yep.
Awesome. Well, Nolan, thank you so much for joining today. It's been a lot of fun talking with you and learning a very different perspective and mindset to the hard aspects of running a business and making sure our accounting and finances are in order. So thanks for joining. Take care.
Thanks.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing in to info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for facilitating this podcast. And thanks to Tori for sponsoring this episode. To learn more about how Tori can manage your personal physical assets, head to inventory.capital. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.